simply rubbish, gentlemen. A little red onion, tomato, cheese.
Buccaneers fans, it's that time again for the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the Custodian of Canton. Schedule edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Happy schedule week, everybody. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. The Buccaneers schedule is out. Everybody's got their opinions, got their 2 cents, and we're going to get the big 2 cents from the big guy himself, Ira Kaufman. All the fun, all the analysis, it's presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. That's Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, 65 years, serving the Tampa Bay area. They've got dozens of active charities, meaning they support all kinds of endeavors across the Tampa area. But just as important, they've got great service for you and a nationwide lifetime warranty. Sean Sullivan, the general manager, he wants to help you personally. He's got a $500 gift card just for ordering a new vehicle through their concierge service, where they're going to take care of you. No deposit. Just get to BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, the Curry family, family-owned. Aren't many of those left anymore. Bill Curry Ford. Order a Bronco today. You know you want one. They're fantastic. Mustang, BillCurryFord.com. We thank Big Storm Beer. Ira, one exciting part about this schedule is that it means we start to nail down our watch parties at Big Storm Brewing Company, and the Buccaneers open on the road. So we should have a hell of a party. I'm thinking I'm going to try to talk Big Storm into a free or really discounted buffet for that 1 o'clock game. Maybe a buffet rolls from 11 to 12:30. We get the Sage out there with a microphone, taking some Q&A before kickoff. What do you think?
Well, the only question is, which Big Storm are we going to? I would think you would go to the Clearwater location. I would think.
Beautiful outdoor seating in Clearwater, a lot of seating. And indoors as well, of course, covered, fans, great audio. There's the smaller tap room in Pasco County in Odessa, the beautiful new one in Ybor City. Plenty of room there for a great watch party and a lot of fun. And, of course, Cape Coral and Orlando at the Amway Center. Big Storm Beer, try it. Get to their website, bigstormbrewery.com. Look at all the beers. Then head out to Publix and try a Bromosa. Other stores have other varieties. Big Storm Brewery. We're fired up, Ira, and of course their food is fantastic. Head there this weekend, live music schedule. Just follow them on social media, Big Storm Brewery Clearwater or Ybor, Odessa. You get the idea, bigstormbrewery.com. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk more about them later, but get to their website, floridaselite-restoration.com. Learn about their services for when you need mitigation after a disaster, mold, storm damage, fire, whatever it might be. You got to know who to call and who to trust. They're family owned. Josh Martin, he's got 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster, so he's going to get money for you. He knows how to do it in this sleazy insurance business. He's a superstar. He's a savior for the homeowners who have disasters, and his team has even more experience on the insurance side, so they know how to make sure you are covered. When you have that disaster, you need an offensive coordinator, and that is Florida's Elite Restoration. Ira, the schedule is out. Lee is here. I'm fired up. Lee's fired up. We're going to clear the floor. We got to know the Sage's initial impressions, his big three takeaways. What do you got?
A lot to like and a lot to be troubled about. That's my overview. Now let's get a little specific. What do I like? Well, the way I'm looking at this, I know they only play five games against playoff teams, but in the last 10 weeks of the season, once you get past that Buffalo night game at Buffalo, the final 10 games, you're only playing two playoff teams from 2022. You're playing the Jags and you're playing the Niners. That is a very nice closing schedule. There's some soft areas here. You got the Texans and the Titans back-to-back. I don't think either of those teams are any good. You got Indy, Carolina, Atlanta. Green Bay's not very good. You close with New Orleans and Carolina. The closing schedule is very favorable. Here's a few things I don't like just right off the bat. Minnesota, very difficult. I believe they were 8-1 at home, Steve, last year. 8-1. They're a top 10 offense. defense difficult. I don't like the fact that they don't get Bryce Young early. They only get him late in the season twice in the last six games. I was hoping maybe they get an early first month game before he gets his feet on the ground, and I'm not happy with that. I do like two night games. Lee, that's about one more than I thought they would get, so I think that's good for Buck fans. Look, if they can go 4-3, if I got some early tough games, if they can go 4-3 before that stretch, I think they might be in decent shape. And by the way, one more negative: I don't like the early bye. I just don't like it. I like a nice week 9, week 10 bye. And instead, I got a week 5 bye. So that's a drive-by right there. I don't like it. But overall, this is not a terrible schedule if they can get off to a decent start.
I don't have a lot of huge thoughts. Ira mixed all the salient ones. Me personally, and I bet if you really pester football people, they'll say the same thing: the later the bye, the better. We saw that with the Bucs in 2020. They had a late bye. They were more rested. And you can't tell me that didn't help, being more rested when they had to become road warriors in the playoffs. Now, playoffs this year, it's a little bit of a reach right now. I'm surprised they got two primetime games. Very yep. surprised. Since there's four that have no primetime games. So that's very surprising to me that the Bucs would get two, much less one, that they'd get two primetime games and Texans would get none. Now, of course, someone will say the Texans are horrible. Yes, they are. But they're in a top 10 TV market. That's why the Cowboys, that's why they're shoved down our throats, eyeballs. And also, C.J. Young, there's interest in C.J. Young. The fact that he comes from Ohio State.
C.J. Stroud. Yeah, Stroud.
C.J. Stroud, yeah. Being an Ohio State guy, that's going to get a boatload of people watching. So I'm actually shocked that Houston got no primetime games while the Bucs got two. I can't go too far into the schedule because I can't get too far into the Bucs. I don't know what to expect. I think they're going to start Mayfield. I don't know that. You know, right. Anybody around the Bucs, if you suggest Mayfield's a starter, they jump all over you. No, 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 no. Kyle Trask is starting. It just drives me nuts. I know I'm getting off the deep end here. Drives me nuts saying, oh, so-and-so's competing. So-and-so's competing. Well, how about letting him freaking win the damn thing? I don't want to compete. I want wins. Wins. Football's about winning. I don't want quarterback managers. I don't want game managers. You don't manage games. You win games. Screw this. And, you know, Canales, I love Canales. He's up there like, I don't need to name a starter till the left. Tom Brady struggled with this, with the Bucs, with his new team, until the end of November. Then it all clicked for him. Got news for people. Baker Mayfield ain't no Tom Brady.
I think Lee's got a point, Steve. I don't think this quarterback competition, no matter who wins it, I don't think it's going to go down to, August 29th. I think it'll be decided about halfway through training camp. And I think Trask will need a hell of a camp to win the job. Steve, one more quick one. This is quirky. You might not agree with this, Dr. Isbitz, but I came up with another possible positive for the schedule for the Bucs. And by that I mean they have a short week. Steve, they have a short week. They're home to Atlanta, and then they go to Buffalo on a Thursday night. It is a short week, and yes, you're on the road. But you know what, Steve? We're always very honest here. They're not going to win that game in Buffalo. So if you're going to have a short week, make it going to Buffalo. That would be one hell of a win for the Bucs to pull off on the road, prime time. Short week, on the road, but it's Buffalo. You're probably going to lose that game anyway.
Josh Allen's got to be healthy, but yeah, I'll go with that logic. But I got a few things I really love about the schedule, Ira. It starts with one of my loves, one of Lee's hates, which is preseason.
Nah.
They've got three crazy physical football teams to play in preseason: Pittsburgh, at the Jets, and then Baltimore. That's physical football. That should toughen them up a little bit. And not that the Bucs aren't physical, but they could get more physical, and they obviously drafted three guys in the trenches with their first three picks. Baltimore, if you guys remember, Baltimore, John Harbaugh's philosophy is you play the preseason all out to win. He's been doing it for years. I forget what his streak is up to in preseason wins, and they go all out. And that's the Bucs' final preseason game. So that should be absolutely wild. in that game for August anyway. But I like that. I like that they're going to get toughened up because they're going to need it. Look how heavy those first four games are, Ira, before the bye. Those are running teams, man. Dalvin Cook, he'll be healthy week one, assuming they work out their contract squabble. He'll be healthy week one, and he's not completely shot yet. Maybe I would have rather had him in week 14, but he'll be fired up week one. Chicago runs the ball like wildfire. Philadelphia is going to run it down your throat. And New Orleans, you know, we'll see if Kamara's there, and they obviously drafted a running back, but they're at least a balanced team. The run defense better be up to speed in a hurry, otherwise the whole season's going to fall apart. But the biggest thing I don't like, Ira, is that week five bye because I'm scared. I'm terrified, not just as a business owner, but as a fan who hates when just people aren't loving the Bucks and that enthusiasm dies. If the Bucks don't go 2-2, Ira, you know what happens. They're 1-3 at the bye week and everybody's off to the beach and they're going to festivals in Tarpon Springs and in South Tampa. And they're like, ah, freaking Bucks, 1-3. It's beautiful. It's October. I'm out. That's how it goes. And I don't want that. I want a 2-2 football team at least. I want some juice. I want Baker Mayfield, you know, doing his thing, or Trask. And then they come back from the bye week with two home games, Detroit and Atlanta, where, you know, hopefully they can at least split.
You know, Steve, to your point about the week five bye week, Lee, it's tough to play 13 straight weeks.
Yeah.
It's difficult. That is a grind. Steve's right. 2-2 would keep interest. And, you know, let's not kid ourselves. Detroit coming off the bye week for the Bucks, that's not an easy game, Detroit, even though it's a home game. And, Lee, one thing that jumps out at me, three out of the first five games, Minnesota, Philly, and Detroit. Those are good offenses, Lee. Really good offenses, top 10 offenses, some of them top five. Detroit added even some more firepower. We know what Philly's got. You know, Minnesota scores points. They do. And they had a knack of pulling games out of their butt last year, but they score points. So this defense, Mr. Cansey, better strap it on. They better have a pass rush the first month of the season, first 5 weeks, because, again, the schedule softens up a little bit. You know, look, not Buffalo, but I'm telling you, Houston and Tennessee, they're not scaring anybody, Lee. 49ers, very tough.
I'm not saying Houston's scaring anybody, but you're right there, Ira. I'm very down on Tennessee.
I think they're going the wrong direction. Indy, not very good, Carolina. Steve, look at the bottom of that schedule. It's a little soft.
Definitely, Ira. I agree with you there, but I need your help. I got a bone to pick with you because I just don't get it. I need your help here. Tennessee, since when do they suck? Since when are they a terrible football team? I get they lost seven in a row last season, but five of those were without Ryan Tannehill, and I think he got injured in the sixth, and that's their starting quarterback. And yes, they misjudged their backup completely, but I don't know any other reason why they suck. And they have a good coach. They have a winning history. Their 7-10 last year was like their worst season in a long time. So I'm missing something.
You answered your own question. They ended the season in terrible fashion. You're talking up Tannehill like he's Joe Burrow. Tannehill's best days are behind him.
What best
you
days?
You know, Derrick Henry's still a heck of a back, but he's got a lot of tread on his tires. They don't have great weapons. Their defense is okay. They're physical. I give them that, Lee. Tennessee's physical.
Mm-hmm.
Vrabel team always will be. But I just think they're a little short in manpower. I don't think anybody in Vegas is picking the Titans to do anything. So, Steve, I think stuck in the past a little bit. This is not 2020. This is 2023. Tennessee's going the wrong way, Steve.
All right, Sage, you set me straight. I just see them as a decent football team. If Tannehill's healthy. So I don't know. I have no evidence why they are not decent, but we'll see. Hey, it's week 10, Tennessee coming to Tampa, 1 o'clock game, a lot of 1 o'clock games. A little scary, Ira, and here's how I look at it. I'm curious whether you guys see it the way I do. I think the Bucs have to win on opening day because, look, Todd Bowles gets all that time to prepare for the Minnesota defense like it's the Super Bowl all over again, but for the Minnesota offense. Nobody knows what the Dave Canales offense is going to look like, so that's an advantage to the Bucks as I see it. And you got to beat Minnesota, and then you come home and beat Chicago, and then, okay, you got Philly at home, Monday Night Football. All right, you're probably going to get hammered or be smacked around. And then you go the short week to New Orleans off the Monday night. That's rough, tough place to play. So maybe that's your 2-2. Obviously, I want them to beat New Orleans, and they can, but I think they got to win those first two to deal with those next two games. What do you think?
I think you're putting too much pressure on that first game, Steve. They're 7-point underdog. That's number one. Lee, there's only one longer game on the schedule, which I think is the Texans, maybe, and the Ravens, Lee, which I think is 9 points, but the Chiefs are also 7-point favorites opening week against Detroit. Lee, the Bucs are 7-point underdogs. Now, if Steve's going to put that kind of emphasis on winning the opener, it could be a long season. I don't think New Orleans is that tough. The Saints had the Bucs number for a number of years, but I think that's over. I know they got Carr, and he's an upgrade on Andy Dalton. I give you that. But I'm not scared of going into New Orleans anymore. And I'm sure Tristan Wirfs won't mind getting away from Cameron Jordan if Wirfs does take that left tackle job. Jordan usually comes off the left side, so that's going to be a Gedicke's problem.
And a big problem.
Weeks 2 and 3, back-to-back, at home. Justin Fields, say what you want about the Bears, but they do one thing well. The guy runs for 1,000 yards. And then you got Jalen Hurts. That guy runs for about 1,000 yards. And they tire out a defense very quickly, those two guys. I know the games are in Tampa, but Lee, it's going to be hot. That could be an advantage for the Bucs, but in terms of that Buck defense, they're going to be chasing Fields and Hurts around the field all night long. They better have a nice rotation going up front.
On paper, I love what you said, Ira, and it makes all the sense in the world. But I'm trying to think the last time the Bucs used heat to their advantage. It's been a long time.
The games are at 1 o'clock, too. League, right?
Years and years and years, we've always heard that, oh, the Bucs take advantage of the heat, and it's just the opposite. I remember some Buck games where the Bucs actually had their asses handed them. The Steelers, the Ravens. The last time I can remember the Bucs taking advantage of the heat, oddly enough, it was the same team we're talking about right now, the Bears. Bears came in one time, remember when Mike Glennon came in? And the Bucs clobbered them, and that was actually the Bucs' first game of the season because they had the hurricane game delay. They had the Miami game had to be moved because of the hurricane game or hurricane weekend. But I remember the Bucs clobbered the Bears that day, and Noah Spence had a sack or two. Now it's probably the last sack Noah Spence ever had. Then they went to Minnesota and they just got beaten to a pulp. And then when Chucky was coaching, the Bears came in and the Bucs just pummeled them. 1 o'clock game. I mean, they were done by halftime. Bears were. You could see it. Like they were looking for the air conditioning, man.
And Steve, of course, we remember Tennessee coming in here and kicking the Bucs' ass in the season opener with Mariota over Winston that day. What about chasing Steve? What about chasing Fields and Hurts? You got confidence the Bucs can stay fresh on defense?
Well, I mentioned that with the run defense. Yeah, I mean, look, they've got the athletes. That's why you're paying Devin White and Levante David, all that money combined, is to run these guys down. I mean, if Devin White's playing, if there's not some sort of weird holdout, I mean, who else would you want chasing those guys down?
Yeah, maybe Kansas can be disruptive in the backfield. Maybe he can. We shall see. I don't think this is a bad schedule, Lee. I don't think it's bad.
I'm surprised neither of you two brought this up. Ivor, you're talking about how the schedule eases up in the latter part of the season. There's one big snowbank in the way, let's say.
Yes.
Packers week before Christmas in Green Bay.
I see it. Yeah, I see it. You know, who knows about Jordan Love, Lee? Nobody knows. They're okay, Green Bay. Their defense is okay. I think they're slipping in that division. I think Detroit's on the rise.
When's the last time the Bucs played a absolutely frigid game? Maybe the NFC Championship game 2020?
Possibly.
It wasn't that brutally cold, but it was cold.
I think Green Bay is mediocre, Steve. They don't scare me.
Hey, Ira, just for fun, right now, would you trade Kyle Trask for Jordan Love?
Not necessarily. I don't know anything about Jordan Love.
Well, there you go. Exactly. I don't know why that hit crossed my mind, Ira, but I had to ask. Sage, we're fired up for this season. I look at those last six games. You got 5 in December, and then the finale at Carolina. You know, and those games, 4 division games of the last 6, which is pretty wild, Ira, if you think about it. It doesn't happen all the time. Carolina at home, followed by at Atlanta, at Green Bay, then home for Jacksonville, home for the Saints, and then finishing up at Carolina. I look at those 6 games, I think, that's Todd Bowles' job right there. how he does in those six games. The arrow has got to be pointing way up. He's got four division games. You know what, Todd? You got to win a few of those games right there. You should be developing this team, and it should be good by then. What do you think?
And don't forget, Steve, the week before that six-game stretch, they're at Indy. You know, they weren't very good last year.
Sage, just so you know, Indy is one of the teams that did not get a primetime game.
They're very nondescript, Indy. Even Jonathan Taylor, who I took first in the Todd Wright fantasy draft, and most guys would have taken Jonathan Taylor. He had a terrible season, Lee. He got hurt. When he came back, he wasn't very good. I mean, the guy was just unbelievable in 2021. Unbelievable. And, you know, he's all they got. You know, they got a receiver that's not too bad. I'm not worried about Indy. Those final seven games after the Niners, and you got to figure that's going to be a lost cause going out to we saw what happened last year at San Francisco. Could be the same thing.
Oh, my gosh.
But Steve's point, those final seven games, he's got to keep this team together. You know, even if that at that point they're struggling, they got to finish strong. He's right. That'll be a referendum on Bulls.
If the Bucks have a winning record, and I'm going to guess if the Bucks have a winning record, they're probably going to be in running for a division title because the division's not that good. So if the right. Bucks have a winning record and the offense is top 10, you think Canales is gone?
You mean gone to another team?
Head coach?
That would be a very quick turnaround, but, you know, it's not like he's a newcomer to the league. You're right. He's got a lot of years behind him, and he did a good job in Seattle. And if they're at the top 10 offense, Lee, with either Mayfield or Trask, that's impressive. That's impressive because the running game, as we speak, is putrid. I don't think I've ever used that word, Steve, on this podcast. It's putrid.
EU.
So if Canales can pull that off, that would be very impressive. I, at that point, the Bucks wouldn't want to lose him, of course. But Bowles would keep his job, and Bowles would want to keep Canales. Would he be a candidate? Well, he'd certainly boost his portfolio, no question about it.
We know how you know, NFL owners love offensive coaches, and if he helps resurrect Baker Mayfield, well, that makes him, you know, shows that he can work with veteran quarterbacks. But also, there's this, and this is the bridge. He's very impressive at that podium. And I know that doesn't mean a damn thing when it comes to X's and O's.
He is.
And losses, but damn, he's impressive. I really enjoy listening to him explain things.
His predecessor set a low bar, Lee. He did. He set a low bar. I see Canales is also busy on Twitter, Steve. The guy's everywhere.
He's got a lot of motivational phrases to share on Twitter, Dave Canales. Yeah. Part of his background, Ira, is he grew up in the church. I believe his father is a minister or a preacher. I'm not exactly sure. Basically, Dave Canales spent a lot of time standing at the podium growing up and, you know, talking to congregations and doing things like that. I believe his brother is a minister. And so he sort of is very natural there and is a good speaker and loves it. But yeah, like Lee said, it doesn't win any games, but it's nice to hear. And, you know, Lee and I got a one-hour taste of that in Indianapolis, just hanging out with the guy one morning. A great speaker and good. He's not going to throw around a lot of BS because he doesn't feel he has to. He's kind of like Pete Carroll, just tells it like it is, and I think he's in that mold.
He's very positive. He's very smooth. Welcome addition, Lee, from a media perspective, certainly, at that podium. We kind of dreaded those 10 minutes with his predecessor.
I finally up on it, you know. When I saw Coach after the debacle in Pittsburgh, I mean, just utter debacle. And, you know, I write that game day Tampa Bay every Sunday or every game day. And I like to go through the referees, what their tendencies are. And I remember that referee crew was very, very pass happy, or at least had a history of being very pass happy about pass interference. And you and I talk about this often, how Mike Evans is able to draw flags because he's a physical wide receiver. And I thought, sure, that was the time to do it. You know, I'm outside the obvious, because there were mismatches all over the place, throwing the deep ball in that game, and Leftwich didn't do it. He grounded, pounded it, and threw short. And when I asked him after that game, you know, how much does he factor in referee tendencies, and he gave me this big BS line. Oh, my gosh, it really affects the game, blam, blah, blah, blah. And at that point, I said, I'm done with you.
That game in and of itself, that might have been the death knell for that offensive coordinator. That might have been it. The Carolina game didn't help him either, I tell you that.
Ira, this week at $1, offensive coaches spoke. I'm going to give you two big takeaways. I want your thoughts. And, of course, anything that stood out to you, we all want to hear from the Sage. And, of course, as we listen, we're welcome to shop at BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Pre-owned, certified pre-owned, new vehicles. Man, they are fantastic. Body shop, service department. Sean Sullivan, the GM. You can email him right off the website, and he will help you personally and give you that Ira Kaufman discount. Ira, two big things. One.
One more comment about the schedule, Steve. One more.
Of course. Go ahead, Ira.
Now, I guess this couldn't be helped, but I don't like it. Lee, they got an 8-week span where they got 6 road games. I don't like that, Lee. I don't like that.
The Green Bay game is the last of that stretch, 6 out of 8. It finishes in Green Bay. So, man, if the players are checked out there, it's an easy place to check out, I guess, if it's cold and you don't want to play. But hopefully we don't deal with any of that kind of stuff. But good observation, Sage. Hey, two big observations. 3 coaches, Ira, not one, not two, 3, referenced Matt Filer, the big 6'6", 330-something pound veteran guard signed in the offseason, how he looks, he's penciled in at left guard, and that, man, he looks the part standing next to Tristan Wirfs and Jensen. That is one fearsome-looking group, and they want to kick some ass. So that's number one. We got that. Number two is the talk of Chris Godwin, outside receiver. They're trying to drill it into him. Yes, you are that guy who ran a 4.42 in college and who had a big touchdown to end the 2017 season to screw the Saints, and you've played outside and you can go deep, and that's going to be part of your role here. What are your thoughts, Sage?
Well, Filer surprises me in no way. As soon as they picked him up, I had him ticketed for a starting guard spot. I think they probably have him right now at left guard. I think Mark will win the right guard job. I don't think it looks good on Light's resume if a second-round pick doesn't start for a team that went 8-9. Now, that doesn't look good to me. And it's not like he's competing with John Hanna for the right guard job. Well, let's calm down. We got Hainsey. You got Hainsey and Leverett and whoever else you want to throw in there. Mark should win that job. He's rough and tumble. And they want more physicality. Filer's going to start, in my opinion. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. So I don't think there's all this uncertainty about the offensive front that a lot of people think there is, assuming that Wirfs gets the job at left tackle, Lee. And that's not written in stone. It's the likelihood. And then I think Gedeki is the odds-on favorite to win the right tackle job, Lee. I think that's your offensive line right then and there. Steve, what was point number two again? Takeaway?
Chris Godwin being told, hey, you're going to tear the top off of defenses this year.
Simply rubbish, gentlemen. Simply rubbish. He's very good at what he does, and he's going to be even better than he was last year coming off the injury, and he was pretty darn good last year. Not great. I'd like to see that yards per catch average go up, Lee. I believe it might have been under 10 yards a catch. That's got to go up. That's got to go to 12 or 13. Lee, he does all the dirty work. It's not easy to find the guy that's good at it, a slot receiver. He's very good at it. Lee, how many times have you made your point on this podcast for the last 7 years with me? Don't mess around with what the guy does very well. Does Russell Gage have a history of being a great slot receiver? Not that I know of. So what's wrong? What is wrong with Godwin in the slot? Lee, I don't understand this experimentation. I think it's a lot of just talk right now.
Every word you said, Ira, I'm lockstep with. But here's a comforting thought. How long was Canellis a receivers coach with Seattle? 6 years? 7 years?
Yeah.
That organization always developed receivers. Always. I think they've had, since Pete Carroll has been there, I think they've had one first-round pick as a receiver. They've always had good receivers. So Canellis knows what the heck he's doing with receivers. I agree with you 110%, Ira. I wouldn't mess with Godwin. Godwin's had his best success at slot, and he's been one of the best in the NFL. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, he has done a nice job, with those receivers, Metcalf and Lockett. They're good. And he brought out the best of them. They're good.
All the way. Who was the guy with Notre Dame that I think it was like a third-round draft pick and a Golden Tate, does that sound right?
Yeah, Golden Tate, Golden Tate.
Awful productive with him. Baldwin was productive.
Doug Baldwin, productive. Steve, I don't know, am I wrong, but I have never, even when Godwin Griffin was a prospect coming out of college, Steve. I never thought of him that much as a speedster. I never did.
He wasn't like DeSean Jackson or something like that, but definite speedster. Absolutely. Yeah, he ran a 4.42 at the combine. That was before they changed the turf. You know, that would probably be a 4.39 with the new turf at the Lucas Oil Stadium. And, yeah, no, he could run. They didn't use him in the same way in 2017. He was the number three receiver. Chris Godwin was playing special teams in 2017. 2018, he broke out a little bit, and then 2019, he exploded in the new role. He's shown he can do both, but it makes you wonder, can he really handle that outside receiver role? But if Mike Evans draws the number one cornerback, I'll take my chances on Chris Godwin against any number two corner in the NFL.
I hear you. I hear you, Steve.
Remember, Sage, as we mentioned earlier, Florida's Elite Restoration, mold, storm damage, flood, fire, whatever it is, if it happens in your home or your business, your property, call them 24/7. They will respond, give you a free assessment, free evaluation at your property with high-tech equipment. And then if you mention Ira when you call, and if you mention Joe Bucks Fan, either one, they're going to give you $500 back if you eventually move forward with their services. Maybe that's cash for your deductible, or it's just money back. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. You can trust them. They're honest, great reviews, great company. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Any other impressions of Canales and the offensive coaches? Any comment that stuck with you? Maybe their comments about the quarterbacks, and then we'll get the heck out of here and come back with some more juice in a few days.
I look at that day and the various coaches that came up to the podium like Lee looks at underwear football. I'm not interested in reading too much into it on May 10th. I'm just not. Lee, here comes the running back coach. Lee, here he comes. And what's the message? We got a dynamite backfield. I love the guys that we have. Lee, what else is the guy going to say? What is he going to say in the second week of May about the guys that he's got on the roster? He's not going to say we need help. He's not going to say we're bringing in another guy because we don't like what we got. So, Steve, I don't want to rain on your parade here, but let's not read too much into what coaches say before OTAs even start. I think a lot can change. And here come the Ezekiel Elliott rumors once again. Steve, here they come. Here they come.
Hey, Ira, I think I have the perfect word for you when describing, you know, the coach's quotes before OTAs even start.
All right.
Puffery.
See, now you made me laugh, Lee. You made me laugh. That's damn good. That's damn good. Steve, you're a veteran, wise, seasoned journalist. I don't have to tell you that it's a lot of gibberish right now. Let's get to training camp and see what's what.
Well, some of it's a lot of fun because, you know, they're in shorts and T-shirts and they're talking about offensive linemen. And, yeah, it's like, come on now. But, you know, it's the same silliness as rookie camp. You know, the rookies are going to run out there and sort of do a whole lot of nothing. And they'll, you know, sure, you can see a receiver on a cornerback who's going to be, you know, working at your local Enterprise Rent-A-Car next week. But I'm not sure what it all means, but it's fun. You know, it's something to talk about. But we'll see what happens here. Sage, want to ask you last question, and our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Get there, check them out so you're prepared when that disaster strikes. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Don't forget them this weekend, bigstormbrewery.com, Big Storm Beer, check them out, and BillCurryFord.com, 24/7, they are there for you at BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, that's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, Tampa's first family of Ford. Sage, the number three quarterback is in. John Wolford, supposed to be the smartest guy in the room when it comes to film. He was in with the Rams for the last 4 years, I believe. He actually did some media writing, wrote some columns in the past. You know, made a few starts last year, was the starter before Baker Mayfield took over.
My advice to John Wolford is very simple. Focus on your writing. Focus on your writing. Because, you know, even though Mike Glennon can last 10 years in this league as a backup, and I understand that, he's done nothing in this league, Lee. I've been looking at the guy. He's done nothing. Yeah, he started a playoff game. He did nothing. Then he got hurt. He's thrown one touchdown pass in the National Football League. One. So let's not get too excited about him. He's a body. He's a training camp body. Lee, in my opinion, they should go and get Nick Foles. I think he offers more value. That's my opinion.
All right, last question, boys. One-word answer for both of you. August 11th. Isn't that your birthday, Ira?
That is. Yes, it is.
All right. Hey, opening day of the preseason, the Sage's birthday. Bucks host Pittsburgh. That means Ira's great friend Mike Tomlin will be in the house. I'm gonna make sure Tomlin knows it's your birthday, Ira. That could get interesting. But
you might get a soundbite out of that, Steve.
I might. Bottom line, Ira, question, and then Lee is our answer, gives his answer, and we're out. Who starts that game for the Bucks at quarterback?
I'll let Lee go first.
Okay. I'm Mayfield.
Now I'm going. Mayfield.
Mayfield it is. I'm not sure. So we're going to go two Mayfields, and I don't know. Sage, we'll be back. Enjoy the weekend. Any good food on the menu?
I barbecued some burgers today. Very juicy. A little red onion, tomato, cheese. Yeah, that's right, Steve. This will give you a little inspiration.